Hey everybody, it's Brian here to tell you about Anchor. You haven't heard about Anchor. It's the easiest way to make a podcast. I'm going to tell you why. First and foremost, it is free. Secondly, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Plus, Anchor's going to handle all the distribution stuff so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, your favorite podcatcher, etc. They'll even help you make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So here's what you have to do. You have to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. You set up those credentials and then they have everything right there. Literally, you could start recording episode one of your very own podcast right there on the spot. It's really awesome. Be sure to check out Anchor. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys get back to the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons. And joining us today is...
Hi, I'm Luke Gygax, founder of GuriCon, as well as a soldier and father. Great to be here today, guys.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you. Yeah, thanks a lot for being here.
So, Luke, thank you for joining us here at the Dungeon Cast. Before we get started, I was hoping you could tell us and the audience a bit about yourself, beyond the obvious. Who is Luke Gygax? What are you up to in relation to D&D and the gaming community?
All right. So as those of you who are maybe old school gamers would know, Gygax, I'm the son of Gary Gygax, who's the co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons, along with another gentleman named Dave Armiston. They collaborated and in 1974 published the game Dungeons & Dragons, which is now in its fifth edition, obviously. So there's some great history. A great story, great personal story. If you care to read a good book that's easy and fun, I'd recommend Empire of Imagination by a guy, my friend, Michael Whitwer. Just a great background if for those of you who are interested. Light read, couple days of light reading, and you'll be through it and entertained. It'll give you a lot of good background on my father's life and kind of the trials and tribulations and development of Dungeons & Dragons. So prior to Dungeons & Dragons existing, there was no RPG genre. So it was really revolutionary, and many things we take for granted today flowed from that original Dungeons & Dragons rule books, and it made it throughout many facets of popular culture, not just gaming, but it's influenced our entertainment all the way from that, you know, internet and video games, and inspired many writers and creators of all sorts. So it's a seminal work, and I think... part of my mission is carrying on my father's legacy is to, bring that to the forefront of people's minds. So things that I'm doing related to Dungeons & Dragons is I run a convention called GuriCon. Typically, we hold it every March in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which is the hometown. It's my father's adopted hometown. He's originally from Chicago, but he lived there since he was 8 years old. And it's where I was raised. It's where Dungeons & Dragons was written. It's where the game company TSR was formed, which published both Dragon Magazine and D&D, of course. And maybe not well as well known, it's where Gen Con started. My father also started the convention Gen Con in Lake Geneva in 1968. He was an avid wargamer prior to becoming a fantasy, prior to developing the role-playing game genre and becoming a fantasy RPG designer. So he wanted to get people together. And back in those days, it was a niche hobby. So he got 100 people together for the first convention in 1968, and that was mind-blowing. And, of course, it's named the Geneva Convention.
Oh, that makes sense.
And that's why it's Gen Con. It's the Geneva Convention. So, obviously, that now that passed to Wizards of the Coast. Mm-hmm. And when Wizards of the Coast was purchased by Hasbro, they didn't want to run a convention. So... my friend Peter Atkinson is a very, very good businessman, and he wisely said, "Oh, you don't want that? I'll just hold on to it for you." And that was a very good decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now it's 70,000 people. So the first year, I think they had 100, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And my dad pretty much did everything. They rented it for one day, and they managed to pay it by charging $1 at the head. They broke even. He thought that was a great success.
Wow. That is a success.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Okay, so we're going to get into GuriCon. I have a lot of questions about it and the convention scene in general. But before that, let's get to the question that you probably asked the most by fans, including our fans. What was it like growing up with Gary Gygax as your dad?
Sure. Well, that's always been a hard question for me because I'm like, well, how would I know what it's not like, right. what it's like right. to not grow up with my father?
Fair.
But of course, I've observed other people, and I had friends whose parents worked, traditional jobs from, white collar jobs to, more blue collar physical jobs. I would say that for me, I am, someone called me patient zero for role playing. As far back as I can remember, I have role played. So I grew up with role playing. Wow. Just in my blood. So I don't have a memory of not role playing or playing games. My dad loved all kinds of games. So we would play Rail Baron, which is an old board game. I believe it's an Avalon Hill board game, perhaps, where you're basically an aspiring rail tycoon and you try to purchase various properties. So he loved the railroad. He was born in 1938. So for him, growing up with model railroads and stuff like that was a big part. But he loved cribbage, Go, shogi, chess, any board game, he would play it, miniatures, chit, war games, and of course, role playing as well. So everything was pretty much put into a game format with my father.
That's awesome.
We got out, we had two riding lawnmowers. We bought a house in Clinton, Wisconsin in the late 70s, and there was a kind of a decrepit older riding mower. And we purchased a new one because it was a very big yard. So we got them both out. And, of course, we ended up racing around our circular driveway to see which one was faster, who could beat the other one. There was always some aspect of gameplay that was going on. That's how he entertained himself. And, again, also being he worked a lot. I'd come home from school. And I'd sit in his office and I'd look through, just like every kid, right? I don't know. Every kid sits there and looks at the Monster Manual, right? I don't know about you guys, but I looked at the Monster Manual. This is my idea for a monster. Mm-hmm. And I'd ask my dad questions while he's typing in his typewriter because he was, it was a while ago. And, he would answer my question like 15 minutes later because he was
focused, he's zoned in.
Yeah. Now that I'm a parent and have kids and they ask me questions, I realize how focused you have to be when you're in the creative mindset.
It's true.
To really get in the zone. But he'd keep that question in the back of his mind, and then he'd answer me 15 minutes later, and I'd be like, what did I ask you? as a kid, and then he'd repeat it, and he asked me this. Okay, great. But yeah, it was fantastic. I'd get to pick up if I wasn't going to play it, he'd let me read what he'd written and give my input to it. So that was a lot of fun. Or I'd be like, I'd tell him my ideas for stories or creatures. Mm-hmm. So the Bullywug was the first one. I think either the Vapor Rat or the Bullywug was the first one I did. But I got the idea for a Bullywug because we lived in the country and there was little tadpoles down there and frogs and stuff.
Right.
And so I was down there. I was like, wouldn't that be cool if there was like little frog guys that were jumping around? So I went and I told him and talked to him about it. And we came up with the Bullywug, sat it out.
Bam, that's awesome.
Fiend Folio.
That's badass.
Yeah, and I guess my home game ideas made it into publication. That's another benefit.
Mm-hmm. We love the Bullywug, so yeah, appreciate that.
We're big Bullywug fans over here.
Yeah, I love the Bullywugs too. They're cool. The other thing is, it's like, so I think, my dad was more of an old school gamer by definition, right?
Right.
So, and if you think about it, part of the transition from role-playing gaming, wargaming to role-playing gaming was the idea of much more cooperative versus competitive, right?
Right.
But my dad had a competitive streak in there, just so you know. So even though the DM is not supposed to, take a side or whatever, he's supposed to be a neutral arbiter, right?
Right.
He was definitely a proponent for
challenging
for
the
monsters.
The
right. Yeah, he wanted to challenge the players, right? Yeah. It wasn't going to be necessarily easy. And if you goofed up, there were consequences.
Yep.
He cut me a little slack here and there because I was pretty young, but... Mm-hmm. But not always. And I mean, my first character died naked at the bottom of a 100-foot pit in the Tomb of Horrors. So, and I was maybe 10. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. So that he was a 10-level ranger, but that was a rough ending.
Yeah. That's amazing. Sounds bad.
It was. It was. That was rough. But, I made it through. I had to learn stuff, but it was fun. And I got to develop some spells and they made it in there. So, I mean, I suppose those were the unique aspects of it.
Sure.
But then many times there was kind of the normal stuff, like going on a fishing trip up to a cabin and hanging out. Or, I was a, ah, One thing that's probably more unique, but it's a great idea. If you're a parent out there, just tell your kids stories. My dad was a fantastic storyteller. And, you know, I don't do as much with my daughters, and shame on me. I should give them more of that just because busy in life. Right.
Yeah.
But he would. I was the fifth. It was his fifth child. So he'd had a lot of practice. And his father also would tell him fantastic stories and got his imagination going from, you know, his youngest years. But he would let us pick out three elements to put into a story. So he'd be like, what do you want to hear? Oh, I want magic slippers. I want a rose. And I want a lion. So, and he would go through the story and he would weave it together and create this really cool story.
That's amazing.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So he would do that. And he also would tell us stories that were tailored for us in a different way. Being the youngest, I often felt downtrodden, or I wasn't, you know, I didn't get to do so many of the things that my older brothers and sisters did.
Right.
So he made a story where the hero was, the little boy in a Japanese village. I think he just called him Boy-san or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was a little, and you know, various things would happen and he would get to be the protagonist. And one of the local, you know, samurai or military leaders out there was, General Ruko. My name's Luke. So it was kind of, you know, there was kind of a play there, right? And then Captain Ernie Zawa, which is my brother's name, is Ernie. He's my older brother. So I got to order him around in the story. That nice. Made me feel good. So, you know, those were kind of the neat things.
Story. That's cool.
Yeah. So those were some of the things that maybe other people didn't experience as much at all. So I think those were some cool features.
Well, that definitely answers my next question, because I was going to ask you if D&D was like an inherent part of the Gygax family life, or if it was more of a that's your dad's job thing. But it sounds like it was fully integrated. You were very involved.
Yeah, we would play test things. Awesome. I remember my first character, the first adventure I remember was playing. I was supposed to be a man at arms that they hired in the village of Hamlet. So it was an early playtest version of T1. And I was the guy who was spying on the party for the druid, make sure that they weren't evil. And that became my first character. I was actually a ranger. And then I learned who they were and we went through the giant series, the drow series.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was cool. That's how I made 10th level. Which is 10th level was very high. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Back in old school, you know, the old school methodology. But yeah, so I play tested a lot of stuff, and then as Melf, I play tested. Saad Chanth is probably my favorite. Lost Temple of Thrizden, Dungeonland through the Magic Mirror. That's what that one is. The Alice in Wonderland kind of based ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's of awesome. Course, adventured through. Through Greyhawk, Castle Greyhawk.
Of course he did. That's amazing.
So, yeah, my dad's Christmas.
Do you still play D&D actively today?
Yes, I do play. I'm going to play after this interview. I'm going to get together and play with some friends of mine that I've been friends with for 30 years. We went to Desert Storm together back when I was just a kid. So now we're all old farts. we're gonna play some 5th edition, if you can believe it. So it's guys that I kind of lost track of over, you know, for a long time. And then through GaryCon, we actually reconnected. So I assume a lot of things when I talk about GaryCon because it's so prominent in my life. But I suppose it would probably make a lot of sense to give your viewers who don't know me at all some background on it. So I apologize for not doing that earlier.
No. Yeah, it's cool. I had questions about GaryCon, and we can move sure, to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So what is Gary? Is GaryCon? Obviously, it's named after my father, Gary Gygax, and it came out of a very sad event. He passed away March 4th of 2008. And of course, for anybody who's lost a parent, they can understand, you know, losing your dad is it's a real blow, and it's a life-changing event. And I sure felt that. It's kind of like still kind of a haze or you know, it's like it's hard to, it's really, wow, that's, you know, there was so much emotions and just kind of making it through each day for a period of time around that. But what I, what was very comforting and what I was somewhat surprised by, to be honest with you, was the outpouring of care and support from the community. And it's then that I really realized Dungeons and Dragons was more than just a game that people played. It had figured prominently in their lives. And for many, it had been a key influence that helped them through various challenges in their life. And even though people who didn't know my dad personally felt very close to him, and appreciated what he did because the impact his writings, his creation had on them in a positive manner. Yeah. And so that moved me and the rest of my family and brothers and sisters too. We all felt that. It was very cathartic. And many people came from around the country. Some we didn't know at all. They just got in a car and drove and came because they wanted to pay their respects to my dad. So we had a relatively small a funeral service that was for family and friends. And then I thought, man, there's just people who are saying they're coming. So why not have like a, for lack of a better word, a wake or a gathering? And I picked the old American Legion Hall in town. Because Lake Geneva is about a town of 5,000 or 6,000 people. It's not very big.
Yeah, very small town. Yeah,
and so the American Legion Hall is location, I think Gen Con 3 might have been held there, you know, partially. I think they had a couple locations. And then when I was growing up, it was used for conventions like, Winter Fantasy and Autumn Revel were a couple little, you know, few hundred person conventions. So 100, 125 people or so, I don't know, gathered, and my sisters, you know, made food, and there was a little bar in the American Legion Hall, so people could have something to eat, have a drink. The tables were out. People played games. We put the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon up on the wall, as well as Futurama episode that my father was in. And we had a podium up there. And if anyone wanted to go up and share a story about my dad, a personal story, game, whatever, they were able to do so.
Yeah.
And people had a good time there. And I think it might have been Harold Johnson told me, he came up, he said, Luke, this was a really good idea. I think you should do this again next year. And Jolly Blackburn was there. Jolly Blackburn, who does Harold Johnson, worked for my dad years ago. Was a good guy. And also a local resident. And Jolly Blackburn just lived across the border in Illinois. And he came up. And Jolly said, yeah, you can call it GaryCon. And Jolly Blackburn makes Knights of the Dinner Table. He's the cartoonist who does that. And in their world, they have a guy named Gary Jackson, who's a fusion of my dad, Gary Gygax, and another old game designer, Steve Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Gary Jackson, and they run Hard 8 Games, and their Gen Con is Gary Con. That's what they call it in the world. I didn't realize it at the time. Mm-hmm. I just said, oh, okay, that's a cool name. I'll do it. So I figured I would just throw a game day once a year to commemorate my father's life, you know, in March. Mm-hmm. And I really just said, hey, everybody, come together. And I didn't have a website. I didn't charge any money. I just said, show up. And about 175 people came to that first one. And I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. And I just figured I was hosting it and I would spend money and just host it. And people said, no, you can't do that. And the great guys, Jolly and David Kenzer, they brought up a van load of product and said, here you go. Just ask for donations. And then they held a little auction. Someone stood up and waved their hand and said, hey, I've got this thing that I'll sell. Let's raise some money so Luke doesn't have to do this. And so they held an impromptu little auction in the space. It was really just one room that we're gaming in. Mm-hmm. Before I knew it, I had $400 more than I spent. Wow. So I was like, what am I going to do now? I can't keep this money. So I had to start a business. Mm-hmm. And there you go. And it just kind of grew from there. And the next year we had 250 people. And in 2019, which was the last year we could have a physical convention, we were up to just about 3,000 people, which is huge.
Yeah, that's a big growth.
Plus it's in a town of 6,000 people.
Right.
In March, in the middle of Wisconsin.
Yeah,
so it's not exactly a tourist destination. The closest airport is about an hour and 15 minutes. Well, Milwaukee is about an hour and O'Hare is about an hour and 20.
Okay.
So it's not convenient. There's no bus that runs through it. There's no train. So if you come to GaryCon, you want to be at GaryCon.
Yeah.
You made a concerted effort to be there. And so that's amazing. I'm really blown away by the amount of love and support that we get. And I think because really for me, it's a family reunion, and by family, it extends to, Tim Kask and Jim Ward. These are the guys who are, you know, Mike Carr, I mean, Tom Wom. These are the guys that were like uncles, essentially. They were always around, you know, people I've known all my life.
Right.
You know, even Harold Johnson and guys like that. And And it gives an excuse for people to come back who worked at TSR in the 80s and visit with their friends. We hold a TSR reunion. So even if you're not a game designer, you know, Susie from accounting and whatever, who still live in the area, they show up and I host a little event for them to have some cocktails and hors d'oeuvres and hang out for a few hours and catch up with people. And, you know, Margaret Weiss is local. She created Dragonlance and Tracy Hickman has popped in and, you know, Jeff Easley is always there because he's a local resident. He's a great artist. Larry Elmore has been there the past several years now. He came for like probably GaryCon 5, maybe 4 or 5. And he's come every year since then because it was so much fun. So I just would see him at Gen Cons. And, he, you know, Larry probably remembered me as a chubby 12-year-old kid. And so, you know, like the next time he saw me, I'm like 6'3" and a little different looking. And he's like, I know you. It was a number of years ago. And I was like, Gygax, surprised someone. So he's like, oh, Luke, great to see you. But Larry is absolutely a fantastic guy. So I've rekindled relationships with so many people. Many of them worked with my father in some capacity, or he inspired them. So, you know, Jeff Kalanian, who was working on his Castle Zagig stuff, along with Steve Chenault from Trollord Games. These guys are pretty much like family. And, you know, Jim Ward helped me write some modules when I decided I wanted to write some modules and do tournament modules for GaryCon, just because I thought that was a great homage to my dad. Yeah. So it's really a family gathering, an homage. We play games, we have fun, and people have enjoyed that sort of environment and that camaraderie, the close feeling.
Yeah,
and
the community.
The community. It's a sense of community, and it's about gaming. And that's why we're there. It's about gaming. It's about, you know, yes, it's about my dad. It's named after my dad, but we also have, a memorial where, you know, we started putting down things, you know, like Professor Barker when he passed, or, you know, Dave Arneson. And we keep a memorial wall. And then a geek preacher, Derek White, he's the chaplain for GaryCon, good guy. And they have like a prayer breakfast and stuff. And he came up with the idea. He said, why not have, we have a table set up with some of my, you know, my dad's belongings out there, and kind of like the table of honor is his desk, you know, some dice and things of that nature and some books. And he said, behind that, why don't we put up just a wall, you know, paper or whatever, where people can put a picture of their friend who's not here anymore. Their gaming buddy.
Oh, wow. That's really nice.
And write a little note there. And then we kind of have our own little memorial wall for
people. I love that.
Yeah. It's not me thinking up of all these things. It's everybody coming together and sharing these great ideas and offering support and helping make it better. And so that's why I think GaryCon has been successful, is because the focus is on having a good time, being a community, and focusing on, focus on the fun and the positivity and the support. I believe, and I've learned, and I feel this is true, gamers are good people. Mm. We always raise a ton of money for charity. People dig deep to do that. The staff at the hotel, it tells us, you know, not just the management. The management does say this as well, but, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
The workers, you know, the young people, whoever it is, come up and say, you're our favorite group. You guys are so polite. You don't cause any trouble. You tip us well. You're just a joy to be around. And so I think that's a reflection of gamers are generally friendly, social,
and good folks. Absolutely.
A generous group. Absolutely.
Yeah, indeed. So this is the 13th GaryCon coming up, right?
It is. Yeah. So GaryCon 13 is, thank you for that. GaryCon 13 is March 25th to 28th. Mm-hmm. And due to obviously the coronavirus pandemic that is still with us, clearly the wisest decision was to go virtual again this year. So, so we are. And we'll be hosting all sorts of games, through the Discord server. You can certainly use, any virtual tabletop or conference system you want to run your games. And if you want to find out more on how to buy a badge, what games are available and that sort of thing, you can go to GaryCon.com. Or if you just want to get a badge, just go to play.GaryCon.com. It'll take you right to the tabletop.events service that we use, and you can purchase your badge and get to it. And there's another, the staff's been working really hard. We've got some great benefits just this last week that we kind of solidified. Mm-hmm. So for every single badge that you have, and the basic badge is $20, anyone who comes to GaryCon will, courtesy of SmiteWorks, will get 3 months free of Fantasy Grounds subscription, plus one of my modules, a module I wrote with Jeff Talanian, called The Trouble at Loch Geneva. They'll get that converted to Fantasy Grounds for free. You'll get 7 days ultimate level access to Tabletopia, which is a virtual board game, virtual tabletop, mm-hmm. Which has 1,500 games already in it, built in, that you can access for the whole week of GaryCon. And I was just talking to my friends over at Frog God Games, and they said they're going to pitch in $20, a $20 gift certificate to every single person who purchases a badge at GaryCon for $20 of e-product. Yeah, and of course, amazing. if you want to buy a higher tier badge, which gives you a little bit earlier access and some other bennies, they come with virtual swag bags as well. And you'll get either $100 of additional e-swag or up to $300 of additional e-swag for those. So, you at least double your money when you buy a badge to GaryCon. Plus, you get in for all 4 days and get to have a good time. So that's awesome. Kind of love and support I'm talking about. Is this, people are very, they really want to, they want us to have a good time. And they realize this pandemic is really a gut punch for it so really many is. Businesses.
Yeah.
So many businesses, so many conventions, and of course, so many friendships, right?
Right.
I haven't been able to sit down and shake dice face-to-face with people
in
a long time. Okay, I'm exaggerating. I have 3 daughters, and so when I sit them down and say, nope, you're going to play, stop, put that down, stop to the TV, then we can sit and play a little D&D too.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and put all those links in the description just when you send them to us.
Oh, great.
Okay. So just a couple questions about GaryCon. 13, that's a big number. It's been running a long time.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest surprises or delights that you've experienced and didn't expect running a convention for this long a period of time?
Like I said, I thought I would be doing a game day and paying a couple $1,000s every year just to do a 1 day homage to my dad. I had no idea I was signing up for this amount of work year round. So yeah. I was hornswoggled. I fooled myself. So yes, running a convention is a whole bunch of work. It is not something that can be done I don't think you could do it alone, period.
Right.
And you certainly couldn't do it well alone. So there's a huge team of people who offer their support. Some work year round, a dedicated staff, maybe about 10 or 12 folks that work year round in some capacity doing this, plus a whole myriad of other folks who, when I say, hey, we've got, we'll donate swag, et cetera. What I didn't know is that I would make so much impact on people's lives through GaryCon. And that's a huge boost. Yeah. And to be honest with you, it's hard going 2 years. It'll be 3 years before I get to see this in person again. Because a lot of the reward for the hard work and for the staff who's, sure, occasionally I can pay them a little something, but this is below minimum wage kind of.
It's volunteer.
It's essentially volunteer work. I mean, it's just a little money it's fun. Really? The reward is seeing the smiles on people's faces when you go around and you see all the joy that was created. I didn't think that at Gary, people I was seeing at GaryCon 4, the young people I'd be seeing at GaryCon 4, they're now grownups.
Right.
And, I got to see these guys run their first games, and start a team, they're starting a team D&D game. And now they're, getting out of college, they're getting married.
That's crazy.
it's just that whole evolution. And some of the little girls that, I remember there's the Petrie family and they come and they had 3 daughters as well. And, a couple of them have grown up and gotten married and now I think about it. A prominent figure for the GaryCon staff for a long time was Matthew Teets's daughter, Caroline Teets, mm-hmm. Who's now, I'm 13 at a Gen Con at the auction hall, because that's where dad was. I went down to say hi to Tim or something working down the auction hall. And you know, precocious young lady. Well, she made it to like a Gary Con at 14 or 15 and she had a good time and her dad always came. And so she came back and she said, hey, I really want to help out. I'm like, who's this? You know, who's this young lady? I was like, okay, great. You can do some stuff. But she really sees the initiative and she's a bright young lady. So she, now she stayed with from 16 to 23. She's finished, graduated high school, finished law, college and law school.
Wow.
Is married a soldier, and is having her baby in February. So I saw that whole, all those things. So it's just like, wow, you know, the passage of time for me, I don't feel like I've changed that much, but seeing the great impact and the growth of people, companies have formed by people meeting at GaryCon. All sorts of projects have come to fruition. I made some amazing friendships. I didn't, like I said, I reconnected with people that I haven't seen since I was just a boy. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to have Larry Elmore there. It's wonderful to have Earl Otis show up every year and have a good time. Margaret Weiss introduced me to Joe Manganiello because Joe Manganiello is obviously an avid gamer, as I think most people know. He loves Dragonlance. And so he was talking to Margaret about that. And she's like, oh, you'd probably like to come to this convention in Lake Geneva. It's, you know, I think you'd have a good time. And so she gave me his phone number and we talked. And and sure enough, he had a blast. And, you know, so I just got to meet all sorts of cool people.
Yeah, the networking opportunities. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just cool. You know, and I mean, this is not my primary job. I'm a lieutenant colonel in full time in the California National Guard. And I have a fairly demanding day job.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, and three little girls and a wife and stuff too. Mm-hmm. You know, to all those things take some time. So again, as this thing has grown, it's really through the energy, love of the community to include those hardworking staff members that keep this thing rolling forward. And I guess I'm just, my sense of appreciation for the community has continued to grow.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's awesome. Sounds like an amazing community.
And super impressive to be able to juggle all that and still put on a great con. Yeah. So excellent. Yeah,
well, like I said, I owe a lot to the guys who are helping me out.
Yeah.
My event staff, I mean, it's just guys. I was like, well, I know Skip and Dave could do this. Well, Skip Williams and Dave Conant ran Gen Con in its early years, you know, and some of it's when it was in the teens, and also a lot of RPGA conventions. So they're great people to have run the convention. Absolutely. And you know, my ops guy for physical conventions is Mike No from Iron Wind Metals, which was the old Ralpartha. So I don't know if it used to be that company. Ralpartha was one of the original kind of miniature figurine makers. Yeah. Nice. So there's Grenadier and Ralpartha. And so Ralpartha went bankrupt and he kind of bought that company and they just renamed it Iron Wind. But he was essentially a guy who was a biker. He liked, you know, he's a Harley riding biker guy, mm-hmm. you know, all tattoos and beard and all sort of stuff. but he took a temporary job near his house through a friend spinning miniatures. They needed a little extra help. And I think he never left. He ended up working there all his life and bought the company.
Wow, that's awesome.
So it's just kind of, isn't it funny how dumb luck sometimes
life takes us on these paths.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. So it's a big family. All these people are family. And just like family, some of them can complain about the strangest things to me, which is funny. It can be quite irritating at the time. Mm-hmm. It is one little story. I mean, heck, we all like to gripe about stuff, right?
Yeah, of course.
So one guy, this is probably the best one. So, with the growth, there was a lot of trouble that came around until I found a great management service. So I'm going to say hats off to tabletop.events. They're a great service. If you're a small convention organizer, take a look at them. They're the guy who created it is great. They've sold it to Board Game Geek now. But it still continues to be a great service. So we hadn't found that yet. So I was going through and had all sorts of, you know, trouble with their registration process. Oh man, it was really hard. And we used to offer an early bird registration where you would get, I think it was like $40. You got 4 days of the convention. Plus you got, we have some really cool stadium cups. I wish I had been smart enough to grab one and have it handy, but we have some really neat stadium cups that we do each year. And you can buy a stadium cup for like $10 and you get dollar soda refills all day long of the convention. And during, we have happy hours on Friday and Saturday for a couple hours, 5:30, 7:30, and you can get free soda in it. Or if you pay $20, you get a beer cup, different color, right? Same design. Mm-hmm. And same thing. You get $3 Spotted Cow. Spotted Cow is my dad's kind of beer of choice.
It was, oh, nice.
Yeah. So, well, we're Swiss. So the name Gygax is a Swiss name. And there's a Swiss town. There's New Glarus, which is a Swiss community in Wisconsin. And they have New Glarus Brewery. So he enjoyed New Glarus Brewery. This is one of their most popular beers. So that's become cool. The unofficial official beer of Gary Conso. Yeah. Spotted Cow. You can only get it in Wisconsin.
Is it a milk stout or?
No, it's just, it's really like a ale or something. It's, yeah. It's,
oh, okay. For sure. Yeah. That's awesome.
You can't buy it outside of Wisconsin. They just said, nope, we don't.
They're not expanding that far.
Yeah. There's like, yep, we're not doing it. Like what we're doing here. It's family owned. We like to take care of our customers. And there's enough demand in Wisconsin. No. It's a pale ale. It's a farmhouse pale ale, I guess, is the
official
nomenclature or style. Very cool. So yes, but it's tasty. It's a good beer. So you can get that. So if you came to Gary County, bought this badge, I would throw in the cups free, right?
Oh, nice.
And so right, so it's nice. So it saved you like $30, right? Mm-hmm, and absolutely. And just to do it before, you know, whatever. In the first 2 or 3 months, we had registration open. It gave us some operating capital, and it was great. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy got online. He's like, oh, this Gary Con, these guys are the worst. They've been ripping me off every single year. He's like, I get this cup and I can never use it. And I was like, okay, why can't you use it? Well, I don't drink beer. I'm like, okay, so get soda. He's like, oh, you don't have soda that I can drink. I need a diet, non-caffeinated, non-cola.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right.
So this is like, you know, registration had just opened. It had failed. We're having to go through hundreds and walk back hundreds of processes to see who actually registered for what game at what time, because it just slammed and overflowed. So there's 50 people signed up for an eight person game, right? Or eight seats. So we're like, oh my God. And so my poor, they're just pulling their hair out. I'm trying to answer these sorts of questions and say, boy, we're really sorry, we're working on it. And this guy comes up with this one. So I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So he would go on. Oh yes, steal them. So I had to pick up the phone and call the Grand Geneva Hotel where we do it. And it was our first year there. And I said, you have a diet, non-cola, non-caffeinated beverage? You're like, no, we don't. But Diet Sierra Mist would qualify for that. We will order a case of Diet Sierra Mist. We'll have it positioned around. So if this guy comes up and we'll brief everybody. So that's the level. See, this is a good hotel. So he got his Diet Sierra Mist in that emergency room. So that's the kind of these are the kind of curveballs you don't expect. It's like,
not at all.
You know, a guest canceling, you know, stuff happens. A guy couldn't travel, a death in the family, whatever the case may be. And you have to reschedule people, but no, it's the little minutia ankle biter stuff. But you can't just be like, shut up and deal with it, right? You can't do that, right?
That's so what I would do.
You have to go that extra mile and take care of people. And,
So no, that's problem. Amazing.
Great.
Well, if you guys are listening to this or watching this, check out the link below. Go support Gary Con, and hopefully opens up so everyone can fly there and get some Diet Sierra Mist.
Yeah, that's right.
Before you go, Gary, we reached out to our fans and or Luke, sorry. Before you go, Luke, we reached out to our fans and they got a bunch of questions for you. So are you down for some fan questions?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to ask this first question. It's become a tradition on the DungeonCast interviews. We ask all our interviewees this question. It's not D&D related, but Luke, what is your favorite breakfast burrito and or breakfast sandwich?
Ooh, yes, this is a serious question here. So I would say, I would say that I don't prefer the burritos. If I'm gonna have a breakfast sandwich, I want like a turkey, bacon, egg and cheese on a croissant.
Ooh. Nice. I like that. Unique answer.
It's good.
Let's see. You kind of already answered this question. What's this one here? Oh, by the way, that last question was from Discord user Veloxity. This one comes from Cody Source Rex. How do you think growing up with D&D affects your perception of the hobby?
Well, yeah, for me, it was just, like I said, it was a given. This was part of life. And so it always struck me as odd when people would say their parents thought during the Satanic Panic mm-hmm. that this game was dangerous.
Oh, like, I can't imagine.
Dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, no. So this was a real thing. People would make death threats against my father. Oh my God. And we had people who would cruise by where we lived, and it would freak my mom out. So yeah, my parents built a 6-foot cyclone fence around our property. We had,
oh my gosh,
that's crazy.
Yeah. We had six husky dogs that we'd let run at night. So
right.
To help guard the place. My dad was a Second Amendment supporter. So we practiced mm-hmm. shooting a lot.
Yeah.
So that was just one of those things. So that was dangerous. That was real. You know, the people who said that sort of stuff, my mom was certainly afraid that, you know, we'd get in trouble. So for me, when someone would say, this is from the devil, I was like, no, it's not.
No, I mean, from my dad.
Yeah, my dad. You know, there was no, sorry to disappoint people. There was no, like, you know, black robes or seances or covens.
Right.
And none of that sort of stuff. It was just really hanging out and rolling dice and being nerdy and having a good time. Yeah. That was it. So my dad, if you look at the, you know, the people would say, oh, there's spells in those books. He's like, and my dad always said, would I be writing games if I could throw these spells? Are you kidding me? Right? This is like one of the silliest things ever. And he's like, yeah, the gust of wind spell, look at the spell components. It's a legume, you know, it's beans.
Right.
So, yeah. That's what's making the gust of wind, right? I mean, the lightning, I think a lightning bolt has a piece of rabbit fur and a glass rod for static electricity, right? Mm-hmm. Come on, guys.
It's not
magical spells.
It's ludicrous. But yeah, I never even thought about the whole Satanic Panic and how that affected the family. I just never really even thought about it. That's crazy. So next question is from Jasmine. He wants to know, or they want to know, favorite character you've ever made?
Okay, so the favorite character I played seriously would be Melf. He was a fighter magic user.
I got him up famous to spell?
Yeah, I got him up to fighter 11, magic user 13, and that's using the old school limitations. So I had to use wishes and a tome of intellect to get my strength up to 19. He was a 17. I used a wish to get it to 18. I rolled percentiles, got to 1881. Two more wishes got me 10 percentage points each time, got me up to 1901. So he's 19 strength, but I had to, so that's how my dad was tough. Yeah, I had to use three wishes
for that like one.
And wish rings was not easy to find either. Right. And then I got the Tome of Intellect, I can't remember the exact, like Clear Thought or whatever it is. But the one that raises your intelligence by one at the end of Sajkan, when you fight Igwil's daughter, that's in there. Do you guys remember that one? It's a circular chamber with a vamp. She's a vampire.
Mm.
And she's got slippers of spider climbing. And it's a hemispherical chamber.
Badass.
So she's running around this thing upside down. So that sucks.
Terrifying.
Yeah. I lost a couple levels that way. And when you lose a level, you know, I lost a level of fighter and magic user.
Ooh.
Or two, actually, because I think the vampires ran two levels, if I remember right. So that was horrendous. She hit me once and that really screwed me up. So it was a lot of hard work. So I enjoyed playing Melf. I developed spells and I played through a lot of things. I put a lot of time into Melf and really enjoyed playing him quite a bit. Mm-hmm. If I'm being silly, probably one of the most fun characters I had was playing Marvel superheroes. And my buddies, I'm not a big superhero fan, mm-hmm. a game fan. Yeah, I don't mind superhero movies, but I don't really want to play a superhero. But they all loved it, and they were playing these. You know, one was a Punisher clone, and the other one was a Wolverine kind of clone. So it's more along those lines. And I just wasn't feeling this, so I made my character was a robot, mm-hmm. or cyborg. He was a robot.
That's awesome.
He was a robot, right? Well, no, I rolled it. He was a robot. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And I had amazing armor, which I think is like one of the highest classes you can roll. So I had like amazing armor. I had like a 40 for my shadow force. That was another thing you just randomly generated. And then I had like biochemistry at like excellent or something, which is still good, like a 20. So it's all pretty good. So I made my guy a Gutterball, the cosmic bowler. And so I was like, you know, I was in his 50s. He had patent white leather shoes, lime green polyester pants, a bowling shirt with my name. My nickname was Slim on there.
Awesome.
And, you know, I was kind of balding, a little dandruff problem, a lot of BO. I use my chemical manipulation to have like BO and dandruff. And then I, force, I'd make bowling balls out of Shadow Force. And I would, you know, go like,
that's
know,
amazing.
Take that awesome. Strength.
I love this
character. Take that turkey, you know, and all these like yeah. really horrible puns. And the rest of the guys, you know, I was just kind of, I was actually pretty decent playing. You know, I helped. I wasn't a thorn in the side, but I just had, that was my way of poking fun at it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a way of you're enjoying the
yeah,
genre.
It was silly. Yeah, it was silly. Absolutely. And it was a lot of fun. So
No, I totally get it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What system were you guys using to play that, by the way?
Marvel Superheroes.
Oh, yeah. The actual system Marvel Superheroes.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, old Marvel Superheroes.
I've heard of it, not played it.
Oh, yeah. I played Champions. I played Rollmaster. That was actually one of my most entertaining games I had was playing Rollmaster with my friend Quentin Bone in college. And he was just that was all DM, you know, because which I think if you have a good DM, system is almost immaterial, right?
Mm. I can agree with that.
It's true. Well, that occasionally leads me to another fan question. 12 Cubes asks, are you socially and legally allowed to openly like Pathfinder?
I played Pathfinder and I love, you know, Jason Bowman comes to GaryCon. He's a great dude.
Yeah, awesome. It's a great game.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fantastic. Eric Mona is a good man. You know, the folks at Paizo are, you know, they're supportive. We have Pathfinder Society at GaryCon. If you play Pathfinder, come to GaryCon.
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
It is a big tent. I don't care if you play fourth edition Dungeons and Dragons, come on. Yeah. I don't care what it is. You know, we have people who play Hackmaster. We have people play Castles and Crusades, Swords and Wizardry. DCC, Dungeon Crawl Classics is a big one. So it doesn't matter. You can play Chainmail. You can play Siege at Bodenburg when we hold a physical convention. That's probably one of the coolest things you can do at GaryCon. So mark it on your calendars for 2022. It's going to be like the last week in March as well. If you want to come there and get like a history lesson there, do it now. Do it in 22 because time marches on relentlessly, right?
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true.
But as of right now, if we were able to hold GaryCon, you could go play Bronstein with Dave Wesley, who most people probably don't have no idea who Dave Wesley is. He's the guy who kind of created the spark that gave Dave Arneson the idea to make Blackmore, who talked to my dad and created D&D. So Bronstein is the first like idea. I wouldn't call it role-playing, but it's a single, you play a role in this fictional town of Bronstein. Mm. It's the first opportunity where you got to play a non-combatant. You could be the mayor of the town. You could be, and you had victory goals, and they were all different victory goals. Mm-hmm. And he was the referee, and you would talk to each other and write notes and stuff, and then he would adjudicate what had happened in this scenario. Wow, so yeah. You can play that, as well as Siege at Bodenburg, which gave my dad the idea for the chainmail rules and the Castles and Crusades Society.
That's super
so cool. You get that whole, all the way to playing, you know, 1973, 1974, you know, super early, you know, recreations of Castle Greyhawk or interpretations of Castle Greyhawk from people, you know, whether it's an Alan Groey or a Paul Stormberg or somebody like that, all the way to playing with the last in 19, we had like Mike Merles and I think Shelley Mazenoble and you know, Greg Tito from the Wizards guys. And I think Chris Perkins didn't make it because something happened. He had an issue or whatever, but yeah, tons of Adventurers League stuff, all over, like I said,
all systems. It is
a wide tent. Yep.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
So just a few more questions. This one's from the Exiled One. Do you have a favorite demon lord? And that's followed up by Cody Source Rex saying, and why is it Demogorgon?
Yeah, it is Demogorgon because... so I should be wearing my GaryCon 9 t-shirt because I have a super awesome Demogorgon version. These are the GM shirts that are made for our super dedicated GMs who says Game Master
Gary. Yeah.
It's for the super dedicated game masters who run like 16 hours of games at a physical GaryCon.
Wow.
That's the way you get this shirt, and you get to be part of the Game Master Regiment. So this one's for GaryCon 10 and we have a lich. This is the bad guy's perspective. So the art for GaryCon 10 was a Solar, you know, an angel type figure, looked like my dad essentially, flying up above the sky with a flaming sword, like a Michael, you know, Saint Michael, shooting a blast of what, you know, radiant energy out and slamming into this lich in his, you know, melting like his skeletal army behind him. And so for me, that was figuratively, you know, him beating death
through
Gary Conn living on that. And so James V. West, who's an artist who does our Game Master shirts, very talented guy, JB West to the max, is his IG, really good dude. He does these up for us, and I just say, hey, how about, you know, making it something like this? And he always comes up with cool ideas.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, the shirt looks amazing. Final question. This one's from Veloxity as well. Pineapple on pizza or no?
Nope. Sorry. I've been to Hawaii. I had two sisters who lived in Hawaii.
Yes. That's the correct answer. You gave the correct
answer. My man, Luke Kygax, loves Demogorgon, doesn't like pineapple on pizza.
Sounds like the kind of guy.
That's great.
That's right. Yes to Demogorgon, no to pineapple.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on, Luke. It's been an honor having you on. And again, everyone, check out these links below. Go support Gary Conn. Seems like an awesome convention and community. And I'm probably going to check it out myself. So you know what? I'm going. I'll be there. Guaranteed.
Right. Yeah, we'll make it.
All right. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to call it a game, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.